and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Nunes' hands are down, and she's walking Ronda down. She tagged her again. Over and over, Amanda Nunes.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
If I can't teach you one way, I'll teach you another. But I'm going to get the job done.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Brought to you by the World Boxing Council. Check them out, WBCBoxing.com. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to another edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Of course, I am your host. I'm also an award-winning boxing writer and a four-time Golden Glove champion. So people say I know a little bit about boxing. So, you know, bottom line is I don't know enough. So if you want to fill me in, you can. Give me your opinion. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. Text me here in the studio. The number, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Well, some highlights this past week. Julio Cesar Chavez, of course, the former champion, 126 pounds, 130 pounds. Woody win titles all the way up to 140. Bottom line is he was the pound-for-pound king of boxing for a long time, of course, until he ran into Oscar De La Hoya back in 1996. But until that point in time, he was a king. I mean, there was no doubt about that. Of course, he and Hector Camacho Jr. engaging in a somewhat exciting or maybe dull, however you want to look at it. But the bottom line is legends were in the ring, at least one of them last week, of course, when he took on Camacho in an exhibition. They did this down in Mexico City. I take that back. It was Mexico. Somewhere down there in Mexico. But the bottom line is, it looked pretty good. I want to wish him props. Of course, here's a guy that had a mad, bad coke problem. He copped to it. He went clean. He talks about it anytime he gets an opportunity. The bottom line is, Julio Cesar Chavez is not afraid of his past. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Pound for pound, women and men, after the box, after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. In a special way, I wish I may.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Now the fun begins.
Somebody put your hands together. Come on.
Little soul with a capital S there, a live version. The mighty Tower of Power. Check them out, towerofpower.com. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Of course, Nonito Donaire, of course, hooked it up with Nenoa Inoue. Of course, Inoue coming off that third-round knockout win a couple of weeks ago over Michael Odessa Marinos of the Philippines, now 30-3 with a draw and 20 KOs. But he was way overmatched. I mean, Inoue just walked in and leveled him with body shots and head shots. Third-round KO, no doubt about that. But Inoue now 21-0. Of course, one of those wins was against Nonito Donaire, in which fight in which Donaire broke the optical bone in the monster's face. So anyway, the monster and Donaire are both now champions again at 118 pounds. Donaire captured the WBC title a fortnight ago in a big upset. But the bottom line is he's back. He's 38 years old. His record's 41-6, 27 KOs, a pro since 2001, of course. And the guy that he was supposed to hook up with in August, I think August the 14th was the date, was a guy by the name of John Casimero. And he was the WBO champion, so they were going to get these belts together. He was going to grab the WBO belt and then go into a fight with Inoue later this year, early in 2022. Of course, for all the belts, 118 pounds. But enter Rachel Donaire. Rachel Donaire is a very outspoken woman. She is the wife, the manager, and now one of the co-trainers of Nonito Donaire. There's nothing I can say bad about her because she will come back and slice my throat. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not scared of her, am I? No, she's got lawyers, all that kind of good stuff. What I'm trying to tell you is you don't cross this woman. She's sort of like the mafia, like the mob. You cross her, it's it. She gets rid of you. And, of course, people talk smack about her or the fact the way she handles Nonito's career. She talks smack back. There's no doubt about that. Of course, some people have talked a lot of smack about her. And back in the days when he was the 112-pound champion, he had agents and managers and things like that. And of course, they just got rid of all those people and Rachel just took over. And of course, I think Rachel's basically co-trainer, co-manager. She's his confidant, no doubt about that. And more power too. I mean, she's a nice woman and she's very assertive and she's powerful and that kind of good stuff, but she can be grating. And some people's boxing was, and to some people, she's indeed grating. So bottom line is, this Casimiro guy said something like she could suck his, you know what, or something like that. And he, you know, Donair got all offended, so the fight's off. Bottom line is, Nonito, if this is a guy you want to fight, and this is a guy you can take to another fight with Mr. Inoue, of course, Inoue being the monster, that would be a mega fight, no doubt about that. Probably the biggest fight at 118 pounds in a long, long time, 118 being a bantamweight. And, you know, let's be honest, some of these lighter weight fights, you got little guys with big gloves. It doesn't look all that good, but bantamweights can put it together. They can put it together, especially this guy, the monster. There's no doubt about it. 21 and 0. That's what, 18, 19 KOs. Of course, that the vicious body work that he does is just like, it's unprecedented as far as fighters from Japan is concerned. Because I never saw too many guys really invested in body work coming from Japan. I mean, the fighting Harada, I remember guys like, they weren't really body punchers. They were head boxers. You know, boxers, you know, they weren't punchers per se. But the monster is the exact opposite of the stereotypical Japanese boxer. He's not frail. He's not weak. He's sort of buffed, he throws hard, and he knocks people dead. So pound for pound, without a doubt, he's one of the best. So him and Donair, are they going to hook it up? They should hook it up, but get the WBO belt first. That way, Nonito, if you go into this fight with a couple of maybe another belt, it'll be a few more bucks for you. This bottom line is, this is probably going to be the end. I mean, he's 38 years old now. What are the chances of him beating the monster better than he was 2 years ago? The monster is a better version than what he was 2 years ago. He's a better fighter. Of course, I think his best weight might have been 115 pounds, but 118 pounds, who's going to rumble? Who's not going to ride? And you know what? When you have to lose that weight, 3 pounds is a whole lot. Now, let's take a look at the boxing schedule. Of course, Tim Tszyu, the son of Kostya Tszyu, the former world junior welterweight champion, was supposed to take on Michael Zabeda in a super welterweight bout. It was going to be July the 7th down there on ESPN Plus, coming to us from down under in Australia. That fight is, Zarafa is out. Evidently, he didn't show up in Australia. So that fight's off. So, and he'll have to get a last minute substitute or that card will be replaced. July the 9th on DAZN, Zerto Ramirez, former WBO cruiserweight champion, now dropping down to light heavyweight. He's unbeaten like in 41, 45, some 40 something fights. And he'll be taking on Sullivan Barrera. Last time I saw Sullivan, Andre Ward was outclassing him, I think, over in Oakland, California. It had to be like 8 or 10 years ago. So he's way, way past his peak and long in the tooth. On the same card, lightweights Jojo Diaz and Javier Fortuna. Of course, Fortuna was supposed to be the guy that was going to take on Ryan Garcia. Ryan Garcia, of course, now being mentioned as far as a Gervonta Davis opponent is concerned. But, you know, Ryan's got problems, and Hector likes to jump on Ryan with both feet. He just does. He loves to jump on Ryan. Ryan's got emotional problems. Ryan's a sissy. Ryan bit off more than he can chew. The whole nine yards. I still got faith in Ryan. I just do. I just think he's going to come through for us. Anyway, he's not going to fight Javier Fortuna. Fortuna's going to take on Jojo Diaz. That's July 9th on DAZN. July 10th, ESPN Plus. Oh, God. A couple of guys with horrible names as far as pronouncing is concerned, but we'll say Turnzabay Kowalamet. Gonna take on Stanislav Skordov. That's pretty close. Super welterweight, July the 10th, ESPN Plus. July 17th, the undisputed world junior middleweight champion, 154 pounds, super welterweight, junior middleweight, call it what you want. He is the WBC champ. Talk about Mr. Jermell Charlo, once beaten fighter, taking on Brian Castano. Of course, that's July 17th on Showtime. Speaking of Showtime, and Fox, I mean, PBC, Premier Boxing Champions, you gotta give Al Heyman, I guess, some credit. The recent cards on Fox, a recent card, I'll get into it a little bit later, the exact people on the card, but it, at one point in time, it had 1.1 million viewers tuning in. So if you got that many people watching boxing, right on. It can't get much better than that. I mean, maybe 2 million, but let me put it to you this way. Back when ESPN was hot and happening, they were lucky to get a couple 100,000 homes. I kid you not, ESPN back in the day. But so they're getting like 1.1 million people as far as watching the fights concerned. Al Heyman, keep on trucking. Not my most favorite guy, but the Harvard graduate is a bit of a genius. Of course, Charlo and Castano are going to go on Showtime July the 17th. July 24th, it's going to be various NBC platforms. Of course, come July 24th through August 8th, going to be various NBC platforms as far as the 2021 Tokyo Olympics. Are they really going to let that go? And they really took that girl out of the Olympics because she smoked some weed and she was a runner and they caught her with some weed in her system, so they disqualified her from one aspect of the Olympics because she was going to win? Was that an anti-black thing? Because, you know, there's a lot of anti-black things going on now, and right out in the open. Before, they used to hide it. Before, racists used to like, whisper sign. You whisper the N-word. Now they just tell you, hey, I don't like you, you're an N. And that's the way it is. Anyway, bold as it is, the young lady was disqualified from the Olympics, the premier sprinter at 100 meters. So we wish her the very best of luck. She's going to compete in another event, I was told, but the 100 meters where she was going to win the gold is out. July 24th, pay-per-view, of course, the big fight for the Linear World Heavyweight Championship. Tyson Fury, undefeated, 30 fights, 31 fights, that one draw against Deontay Wilder. Of course, he lit Deontay up in that fight, except for the two times he got knocked down in the 8th and the 12th round. Outside of that, he was like playing the bongo drums, just slapping Deontay Wilder around, okay? Of course, Wilder coming up with the big punch with that right hand, that left hook combination, man. God knows, I didn't think he was going to get up, but Tyson Fury did get up. Anyway, the WBC heavyweight title on the line, July 24th, T-Mobile Arena. No doubt about this, it's going to be a rocker. But, you know, I'm not a big fan. How can I put this? I'm a big fan of Tyson Fury. I'm not a big fan of Deontay Wilder, because Deontay Wilder sort of shown his true colors. I mean, he said that Mark Breland, who's one of the biggest softies in the world of boxing. I tried to use that word nicely, but Mark Breland's a big sissy. I mean, he was the best welterweight in the world as a gold medalist in the 1984 Olympics, that kind of stuff, and he won a title at 147 pounds as a welterweight. There's no doubt about it. He was a pound for pound bad dude, a guy that I could never beat. He was just way too big, way too good for me, okay? But the bottom line is, he's not ghetto. He's not street. And let me tell you how straight he is. Of all the guys that were signed by Shelly Finkel in 1984, Meldrick Taylor, Evander Holyfield, Tyrell Biggs, I can go, I think Virgil Hill might have even been a part of that crew. Anyway, all those guys that signed up with Shelly Finkel, they all got these annuities that would give them like, you know, $50,000 to $100,000, depending on how much money they made in their careers, $50,000 to $100,000 a year when they turn 50. Well, guess what? The only one that didn't break into that annuity was Mark Breland. So Mark Breland's been accused of drugging his fighter. I mean, that's pretty cold, putting muscle relaxers or Valiums in his ringside, in the water he was drinking. I'm talking about Deontay Wilder. Then Deontay said that the mask that he wore to the ring was too heavy. Then his shoes were bad. Then his hands were bad. But we'll play the clip coming out of this break here. Of course, he didn't have any injuries whatsoever, any excuses. He just had 1,000 of them. Bottom line is Tyson Fury is going to light him up like a White House Christmas tree. In fact, Tyson Fury, let's put it this way. Tyson Fury should be arrested for domestic violence after this fight. That's how bad he's going to mess up Deontay Wilder. Deontay, no excuses this time, baby. Like Roy Jones. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. The baritone saxophone of Stephen McKenzie Cooper to the break.
Things like this happen. The best man won tonight, but my coach, my side, threw in the towel. And, you know, I'm ready to go out on my shield, man. You know what I'm saying? I had a lot of things going on coming into this fight. But it is what it is. You know, my leg was already weak coming in due to other little things. But, you know, I make no excuses tonight. I just wish that my corner would have let me win out on my shield. I'm a warrior.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Brought to you by the WBC
with Pedro Fernandez.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
Thank y'all for tuning in. All the fans around the world, we love y'all.
Let my boys harmonize here for a little bit. Actually, that's the Tower of Power with some chicks singing background for him. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look in the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, we will touch on the world of MMA very lightly in this show, but the bottom line is I'm not a big MMA fan anymore because I don't think that the fighters are getting paid the way they should get paid, the amount of money they should get paid. I'm really not gonna advocate a pimp thing, and that's what I think is going on there. Just basically, they're pugilistic whores. There's no other way I could put it to you. I mean, we're talking about MMA sluts being put on TV, turned out on TV for a small amount of money. I mean, they're making buku bucks. I mean, come on. Remember I told you Jorge Masvidal sold out the MSG Garden, Madison Square Garden, with 18,000 seats. He sold it out, like with Nate Diaz. They sold it out like in less than an hour, and he wins the main event, and guess what happens? He gets $500,000. Wait. Uncle Dana White gives him a $50,000 bonus. Is that an insult or what? I mean, if it wasn't $50,000, you don't want to like tear it up in little pieces and throw it back in his face, or maybe send him a truckload of pennies or something like, say, I don't want your money or something like that. But that's what a piece of work Danny is. That's why I don't touch high on the world of mixed martial arts. I like the fighters. I like the individuals, but I don't like the business process. And I think that for me to highlight that to an extreme would be to exploit Dana White's pimping. And I just feel funny doing that. Anyway, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live. I've got a bit of an issue as far as conscience is concerned. I know some of you don't believe that, but the bottom line is I've been doing this 37, make that 38 plus years now, and conscience weighs heavily. Speaking of weighing heavily, this guy's a heavyweight that people need to take note of. I'm talking about Michael Coffey. Michael Polite Coffey. That's his middle name. Polite. He's polite. He comes from Brooklyn, New York. Of course, that's where the Bronx Bomber comes to. I take that as the Bronx Bomber. Teofimo Lopez is where now coming to us from. Of course, the former, the current world 135-pound champion. Gonna hook it up with George Cambrasas. They're gonna reschedule that fight, I think, for August the 19th. I'll check the date a little bit later. Of course, it was supposed to go down last week, but 3 days before the fight, he tested positive for COVID. I think that sort of smelled a little bit to me, because they're gonna schedule this right away. I don't know if he tested positive for COVID, but the bottom line is, I think that promotion was looking to be rescheduled anyway, that it wasn't gonna work as far as the time factor was concerned. Anyway, Michael Polite Coffey gonna take on the trial horse, Gerald Williams, Washington, of course. Washington now, 20-4 with a draw at one point in time. He was a decent cruiserweight, and he's fought in heavyweight for the most part, but this guy, Coffey, 12-0, 9 KOs, guys don't get out of there with him. Of course, TKO's, he went 5 rounds already, so that's sort of good. He went 5 rounds twice, went 6 rounds one time in a unanimous nod. That was in his third or fourth fight. I think guys have got to go the rounds. He's knocking out people. It's really cool until you get hit on the chin or you get tired and you don't know what to do. You have to get tired. You have to get hit on the chin a couple of times. You have to be tested in order to prevail at the upper echelon of boxing. In other words, if you get failed as a club fighter, you're not going to make it as a champion. There's no doubt about that. Anyway, back to the world of boxing. Of course, open phone lines around the planet. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Hope to have Teresa Tapia. Who's that? You might know that name, the wife of Johnny Tapp, a longtime wife, dedicated wife. I mean, Johnny loved two things, cocaine and Teresa. And unfortunately, Teresa was second to cocaine on a lot of occasions. Of course, he would die of a drug overdose or a heart attack brought on by a drug overdose by the mere fact that he was taking those Vicodins, those pain pills, and this, and he got hooked on the opioids. Of course, that's when he died. It's been 7-8 years now. 2013, something like that. But Johnny Tapia, on the show a few months before he died, talking about life, this and that. He was happy to live life, and at the same time, he was hooked up on opioids. Of course, you know, I suffer from opioid problems in the family. My mother was hooked on opioids back in the 90s, and my sisters just gave her more dope. That's how they got control of the estate. Just gave her more dope. So when I tried to wean her off of them, the Vicodins, in other words, she was taking 3 Vicodins a day, these big pain pills, and she was saying she couldn't wait for it. Like, you know, 8 o'clock, 4 o'clock, whatever times where she was like, had it on, hey, I need my pill. So I gave her a vitamin C tablet or a vitamin E tablet, whatever it was, but it looked just like the Vicodins. So I slipped 2 of those in one day and then give her a real Vicodin at night. Okay. So when she went to sleep. So anyway, it worked perfectly until my sisters found out and they wanted to make a move as far as her money was concerned. So they told the dope fiend now, who was my mother at the time, he's taking away your dope. He's giving you fake pills twice a day. Well, guess what? You tell an opioid freak that, and guess what? They're going to discard you like a discarded tissue, and that's just what happened. But at the end of the day, I stood my time. Listen, the opioid thing, Uncle Ray had an opioid problem in the 1980s, so this was before it became mainstream, and these are the white side of the family. Of course, the Latin side of the family, the Puerto Rican side of the family, they had all kinds of opioid problems, but they were all heroin related. I kid you not. Had a lot of heroin addicts in the family. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, checking your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Conor Benn back on the zone. Of course, he welterweight, the son of Nigel Benn. Nigel Benn, of course, the Dark Destroyer, man, I guess that was a fantastic fighter, 160 and 168 pounds, the WBC champion of both weight classes, no doubt about that. Of course, he is a man that will forever live in history for, you know, being just the bomber. I mean, he was a guy, and there's a couple of guys that he fought, and I was going to bring up one thing in particular, but I'm just going to let that go. Anyway, Nigel Benn's son is going to hook it up against Adrian Granados. He's going to go in a welterweight bout on the zone July 31st. Have you got the zone? You don't have it yet?
probably going to cost you $19 a month now. I think I get it for $9.99. I think it's because I was grandfathered in at an early time. In other words, if you bought it early on, it was like $9.99 a month. I think now, I'm not positive, but I think now it's up to $19.99 a month. So if you want to watch the fights on DAZN, you got to get DAZN. And DAZN is something that happens on your phone. It happens on your computer. It don't happen on your television. Sorry, it's just not a TV channel. It's DAZN. It's an app. So you've got to get a smartphone. I said to myself the other day, I want to get Frank Maldonado, of course, one of the boxing trainers here in the city by the bay. I want to get him a smartphone. So I saw him and I pleaded with him to get a smartphone. He won't give up his flip phone. He just won't give it up. I mean, you can't text him. You can't even give him a basic text. He can't take a basic text. He doesn't know what that is. Doesn't know what it is. So he won't go with the smartphone. Bottom line is he's doing the flip phone. I guess that's just the way is some people just don't want to get off the ball and do it right. But the bottom line is you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look at the world of boxing, MMA. So that's Michael Coffey and Gerald Washington going to go on the heavyweight battle. That's going to go July the 31st. That'll be on Fox. And speaking of Fox, I said they did 1 million viewers the other night. More power to them, man. If they can keep doing numbers like that, boxing is coming back and in a very, very good way. Everything is, of course, Kid Galahad on DAZN August 7th, taking on James Dickens in IBF featherweight title defense. Of course, Showtime going to go on the 14th. And yes, Donito Donaire, I think, will be there. He says he won't because his wife was called a slut by John Riel Casimiro. He called her that and he told her she could bite on his wing wang and that kind of good stuff. So that didn't endear him to the Donaire family. Of course, Rachel Donaire runs the show. I mean, I'm just telling you, like, she's the most dominant woman in boxing. She just is. I mean, she ticked off a lot of managers, a lot of agents, a lot of promoters, of course, and here he is at 38 years old, the champion again. Bit of an upset being that champion, but he is a champion. There's no doubt about it. And of course, a couple of years ago, in his fight before this one, he had broken the facial bones of Inoue, of course, the pound for pound best fighter ever to come out of Japan. Of course, the undefeated 118-pound champion, 21-0 now, 18, 19 knockouts coming off that win a couple of last week. So he's a real deal. But Donaire has got to get past Casimiro, and that's going to go down August 14th. That'll be on Showtime. Of course, Showtime, talking about 20 years of Showbox. I think they're going to celebrate that, I think, in August as well. 20 years of Showbox. I remember when Jay Larkin started Showbox, may he rest in peace, died of brain cancer. That was sad. You know, him and Dan Duva, both died of brain cancer. And when you see these guys, and you know they're geniuses. Dan Duva was the guy that came up with the pay-per-view idea. In other words, when closed-circuit TV was happening, what I mean by that is when you went to a big fight, you didn't show it on home television. They didn't show it on HBO. They didn't show it on pay-per-view. They showed it at movie houses and at gyms and at big auditoriums, things like that. Okay, in other words, they had the fight on the big screen. It was called closed-circuit television. So when closed-circuit television was at its peak, Dan Duva in 1981 said to everybody, I'm going to start a fight on pay-per-view. And he goes, what? He goes, yeah, I'm going to put a fight on pay-per-view. And of course, Don King said he was out of his mind. Bob Arum said, this is the end of the business. The business will never be the same. The business is going to go to hell. We're all going to go bankrupt because they figured with pay-per-view that people would like, you know, gang up on pay-per-view. In other words, they would go over to Scott Cuddy's house. Scott Cuddy would buy the fight. And then 19 people would go over to Scott Cuddy's house and watch the fight. Well, that didn't work out. That didn't turn out to be that way. Of course, Dan Duva started the Tommy Hearns, Sugar Ray Leonard fight in September of 1981. That was the first fight ever on limited pay-per-view. That did well, and the rest is history. No doubt about that. Now we can't watch a fight without being on pay-per-view or an app. Hey, 21st century, baby. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a little tower to the break. You got the Funkifies. You know what that means? Think about that. You got the Funkifies. TowerPower.com. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. You can also check out the WBC on their website at WBCBoxing.com. You got the President's Message here, of course, from Mauricio Suleiman, and a lot more. Diet tips, all kinds of stuff at WBCBoxing.com. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Let it all come out. That is right. If you got the power, you all know what you got to do. Send it quickly dead and cut that crew. You got to fuck the fire. Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC with Pedro Fernandez. Like a bow-leg monkey. You got to poke the fire. Hey, you got to kick
Let that sax blow a little bit. Tower of Power has had so many great saxophone players. God, one became the musical director for Saturday Night Live. Talk about the great Lenny Pickett. I used to watch him when he was 17 years old. Couldn't drive. Remember, he couldn't drive. He didn't have a license. Couldn't drive. Wasn't old enough to drive yet when he joined Tower of Power at the age of 16. And he used to drive him around. He used to come pick him up for gigs. And then, of course, he was 16 years old and, like, you know, in nightclubs, performing in nightclubs, that kind of good stuff. The great Lenny Pickett. Check him out. He is the Saturday Night Live musical director and has been since 1983, I believe. Pound for pound, she is an outstanding fire. I'm talking about Daphne Pearson, of course, a winner this past Saturday night. Now 45-3, 18 KOs. Reason why I bring that up is it's time to talk women's boxing. Pound for pound, who are the best women's boxers in the entire world as far as pound for pound is concerned? I mean, females always seem to be second on the agenda when it comes to boxing. I mean, people want to talk males all the time. Well, we're going to talk females right now so I can hook this thing right up here. All right, because it's supposed to go, it was supposed to be, that page was supposed to be open already. Anyway, pound for pound, Amanda Serrano, no doubt about that. She may be the best in a long, long time, if not the best ever. 40-1 with one draw, of course. The featherweight, of course, one top world title thing, a junior welterweight, featherweight, all kinds of different weight classes. Bottom line is she rocks and rolls. She is number one according to BoxRec.com. One of my favorite fighters in the entire world, be it male, female, transgender, call it whatever you want. Bottom line is Cianessa Estrada. We've heard her talk smack on this show before. She's a minimum weight fighter, meaning 105 pounds. She's 20-0. She's got like double-digit knockout. She's a real deal, no doubt about that. And she's an orthodox fighter when Serrano's a southpaw who can switch back and forth. But the bottom line is one's from Brooklyn, one's from L.A., and they are different weights, no doubt about that. But they both pack it as far as pound-for-pound is concerned. They're both could be at the top of the list pound-for-pound. Daphne Pearson, the aforementioned young lady from Belgium, a super featherweight, now 45-3. After that is Katie Taylor, of course, coming from the U.K., 18-0, the lightweight champion. Clarissa Shields, the welterweight title holder, super welterweight title holder, was 11-0. Not too many knockouts there. Number 12 was Michaela Meyer. And I'm not a big fan of Ms. Meyer, although she can fight a little bit. She's 15-0. And of course, the one I am a big fan of is Jessica McCaskill. She's like a stockbroker from Chicago, Illinois. She's the real deal. She just is. I mean, she took Cecilia Brakes apart the first time and beat her. I thought she beat her, you know, clearly. And then the second time she went out there and like, she, if they were women, and they were gay and they were living together, it would have been domestic violence. I mean, she just like slapped her around for the entire duration of the fight. But Cecilia Brakes, not what she was. Now she's 39 years old. Of course, Jessica McCaskill, no spring chicken either. She's 36 years old. Now the rest of the women's pound for pound, you know, pound for pound class, I'm not too high on. So we go to the world of male fighters. Of course, pound for pound king in the world of boxing. No doubt about that. Mr. Canelo Alvarez. I mean, Saul Alvarez. Who's better than him right now? I mean, he is the king of the box office. He's the king of his weight class. I mean, people want to fight him for big money. They, you know what they say to him? Come down and fight me at my weight. Jermell Charlo, of course. Jermell Charlo, the 160-pound champion, not the 154-pound champion. The 154-pound champion, if I got my Charlos right, is Jermall Charlo. Why? No. Take that back. Jermall is 160-pound champion. Jermell is 154-pound champion. Anyway, Jermall Charlo says he will not fight Saul Alvarez because he's a 160-pounder. He's not going to fight at 168 pounds. And if the Alvarez wants to fight him, the pound-for-pound king in all of boxing, the king of the box office, if he wants to fight him, the current Muhammad Ali of boxing, if he wants to fight him, he has to go down to 160 pounds. In other words, I've got to cut off my arm and a leg and make 160 pounds to fight you in a meaningless fight. The fight's a big fight for Charlo. No, this fight's not a big fight for Canelo Alvarez. There's no way, no doubt. Anyway, pound for pound, Alvarez is the best, no doubt about that. Fix is 56-1, that one lone loss. Of course, to Floyd Mayweather, when he was real green like guacamole, comes out of Guadalajara, Mexico. Terrence Crawford, number two, pound for pound, 37-0, a champion at 135 pounds, 140 pounds, and now has a WBO title at 147. Of course, he's the guy that should hook it up with Errol Spence, but Errol Spence has got a date with Manny Pacquiao. We'll get to that in just a little minute. Tyson Fury, the number three guy on the box rec list, pound for pound, 30-0 with that one draw. Going to take on Deontay Wilder in a couple of weeks. Bottom line is he should destroy Deontay Wilder. Wilder was beaten the first time. He was beaten worse the second time. He will be destroyed the third time. Number four, as far as pound for pound in the BoxRec ratings are concerned, and I disagree greatly with this one, Anthony Joshua. Of course, 2012 Olympic gold medalist, 31 years old, 24-1, lost to Andy Ruiz when Andy was big and fat guy. Of course, he beat Andy when Andy was an even fatter guy in the rematch. Shame on Andy for that, but the bottom line is the end of the night, he does hold a few belts, does Anthony Joshua.
and he is once beaten 24-1. Now, next on that list is Errol Spence. The aforementioned Errol Spence, Dallas, Texas, flipped that car over about a year and a half ago. Remember that? 27 and zip. I mean, he looks stunning at 147 as far as a welterweight. So he's got a welterweight's body. He's big. He's lean. I mean, he throws hard for a guy that's big and lean. Of course, he's very fast. He can also switch and go orthodox if need be. He's supposed to take on Manny Pacquiao in August. That fight, that tier is up in the air because there's different issues regarding the contracts and things like that. But at the end of the day, who knows what's going to happen. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. Errol Spence, after that, Gennady Golovkin. No, Gennady Golovkin did not fight last week. That was an internet rumor that he fought somewhere last week in Russia. I mean, that was the internet rumor. No, no. Triple G, Gennady Golovkin, the great Gennady Golovkin. He is a great fighter, but he's 39 years old. And greatness has a way of waning when you get old as far as fighter is concerned. He's 41-1-1. Of course, lost that one loss and that one draw to both Canelo Alvarez. That's the only guy that's ever beaten him. That's the fight that they should make. They should make Canelo and Triple G one more time, or make David Benavidez. David Benavidez got a date a little bit later with August 28th against Jose Zakatai. That's going to be for the WBC super middleweight title eliminator. Of course, that's going to go down August 28th on Showtime. The David Benavidez is one of my favorite fighters. He's pound for pound one of the better fighters yet. Not quite. He's got to step up and meet an upper echelon fighter. And I think if he find the hooks up with Canelo Alvarez, that'll be the battle of all Mexico and the United States. We've got a Mexican-American that speaks English and Spanish. Perfect. No doubt about that. He's very affluent in both. He's very, his diction is wonderful. He knows how to crack jokes a whole nine yards. Okay. He can do both sides of the border. And then Canelo doesn't have to do both sides of the border. He can do the Mexican side and then he'll, you know, have a translator for the American side. And that's enough for him to get by. Although his English has gotten a lot better. He told Demetrius Andrade at that post-fight press conference when he beat Billy Joe Saunders about a month and a half ago, that you're nothing. Demetrius being the WBO 160-pound title holder, formerly the WBO 154-pound title holder. He's a guy that's fought for nothing but vacant belts. It's sort of like, I don't want to mention his name, but there's some guy in San Francisco that says he's walking around saying he has 7 Golden Glove titles. 7 Golden Glove championships. I won 4 of them. So it ticked me off when I hear a guy say that because he didn't win 7 of them. He won like 3. Or maybe 2. And they gave them the rest of them because there was nobody in his weight class. That's not enough for me. You don't win Golden Glove championships by, they don't give you championships. Ken Norton, they gave the heavyweight championship of the world to back in 1978. Of course, Muhammad Ali refused to fight him. Ended up taking on Leon Spinks in a rematch instead. He was supposed to fight Norton, the WBC number one contender. He didn't. Of course, he engaged with Larry Holmes in that big epic fight in 1978 when they went 15 rounds. Of course, Holmes would jump in the swimming pool with all his clothes on at Caesar's Palace later that night. But that was a hell of a fight. And of course, Holmes won that fight in the 15th round. Speaking of Larry Holmes, he's doing this thing with Jerry Cooney. Of course, Jerry Cooney, gentleman Jerry Cooney, the guy that never had a chance as a professional fighter. Why? His managers protected him way too much. They wouldn't even bring guys into the gym that would test him. They always being brought guys into the gym that were like me and Cuddy and, you know, guys that get beat up. You know, I mean, just that's the way it was. I mean, you look at some of Jerry Cooney's sparring partners, for the most part, they were slow and small. And he was big and tall. And he hit hard. I mean, Cooney hit hard with that left hook. Ask Ken Norton. Ken told me of all the people that hit him, and people say to me, Ken had a bad chin. Ken didn't have a bad chin. Ken got knocked out, I think, twice by George Foreman, or got knocked out, annihilated by George Foreman. He's susceptible to big punches. That doesn't mean he has a glass jaw. Good Lord, George Foreman is one of the hardest punches in the history of boxing, if not the hardest puncher. Maybe him and Sonny Liston. What about Francis Ngannou? If he ever comes back to the world of boxing, the current UFC heavyweight champion, he's a guy that punches harder, I think, than anybody on the planet. If he can get his footwork together as far as his, you know, positioning and get leverage on his blows, I think he could become heavyweight champion of boxing as well as being the UFC heavyweight title holder. Now, I don't want to say that to boost Dana White's stock, but that guy Ngannou, he's a real deal. He can fight. Open phone lines around the planet before I go to the text. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. And of course, little word here on Johnny Tapia of his wife. I'm going to try to get her on the show next week. Teresa Tapia. Reason being, she's got a card going to go down, I believe, in July or early August in New Mexico, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Of course, I did a lot of fights down there with Johnny. I did a lot of fights down there with Lenny Fresquez. I did a lot of fights down there with Holly Holm. I mean, for one point in time, I was like the semi-media king of New Mexico. I mean, I was doing all the fights down there, working for the casinos because Lenny Fresquez, he got me into those gigs. I mean, Lenny was a a stellar man to me. There was no doubt about that. And of course, then, you know, attitudes change and people change. They grow older, they grow apart and this kind of stuff. But of course, he moves off to Ohio. He bought himself like an entire island over there. That's how much money he had. How much money did Lenny Fresquez have? The guy that managed Holly Holm? Well, he owned like, I think 70 restaurants, better than 70 different restaurants, 70 eating establishments in the city of Albuquerque, New Mexico, including, food restaurants at the airport. He owned them all. So he had 70 food restaurants. And then, of course, you know, he was doing boxing promotion basically as a write-off, but he was making money at it. I mean, most boxing promoters get into boxing and they say to themselves, well, I want to become a champ. I want to get a champion. I want to do this. I want to get my fights on TV, this and that. Well, Lenny had that kind of money. Okay, he didn't have to go to anybody else for money. He had his own kind of money. And him and his wife put it together where they actually made a little bit of money, so they never lost money on their boxing per se. So it wasn't a write-off all that much. Anyway, bottom line is, how did I get there? I just don't know. Back to pound for pound, the pound for pound top 10 list. Errol Spence, Gennady Golovkin, Jamal Charlo. Of course, the world middleweight champion, 32 and zip, 160 pounds, WBC title holder. He is the real deal, no doubt about that. But he's got to have a defining fight. He hasn't had a defining fight yet. What can I say? He's fought a lot of guys like me and, you know, Joe Blow and the guys like that. Yeah, you can beat those guys, but you need to have a defining moment. He should fight a Gennady Golovkin. That's a fight. If I was Charlo, I'd be going after Gennady Golovkin right now. That's a big money fight. Plus, he's 39 years old. 39 years old is Triple G. So that's the time to grab a guy when he's 39 years old. Of course, Charlo wants to wait until Canelo beats him down and there's nothing left to Triple G. And then he'll say, oh, okay, I'll take on Triple G. Let Triple G come back to 160. See, Triple G's in a win-win situation because if he fought Charlo at 160 and he won, he can sort of take that to the bank and enhance his payday when he steps up to 168 and take on Canelo. Or maybe he can ask Canelo to come to 165. They can do a catchweight fight for a lot of money. There's no doubt about it. The third fight between Canelo and Triple G will pay big bucks, big, big money, no doubt about that. Of course, and that has to happen on the Zone because that's where Canelo's fighting these days. Do you have the Zone yet? Do you have ESPN Plus yet? It's no longer HBO Boxing, baby. I know it's a sad day, but it's no longer HBO Boxing. They set the bar. Larry Merchant, the retired HBO godfather, Jim Lampley, Harold Letterman, those guys set the Emmanuel Stewart, those guys set the bar, okay? But Showtime Championship Boxing is still happening, of course, and The Zone and ESPN Plus. In fact, if you want to rock on boxing, you've got to have ESPN Plus. Plus, if you like a little UFC, you can watch the UFC for free on ESPN Plus, but the ESPN Plus app is like $9.99 a month. It's a good deal. There's no doubt about that. A lot of sports. Plus, you get all the 30-year specials, like the 30-year special on Buster Douglas and Mike Tyson, 30-year specials on Muhammad Ali and Leon Spinks, Muhammad Ali's career, every heavyweight you can think of. I think it goes all the way back to like when films started making, like the 1908, the Jack Johnson. Jack Johnson fights are available on ESPN Plus. So that is the entire world of boxing is available for you in a digital form at ESPN Plus. Check ESPN Plus. Check them out. It is $9.99 a month. And come, Pedro sent you. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look at the world of boxing, MMA, pound for pound. Who I think's on that list that I didn't mention? Gervonta Davis should be there, no doubt about that. But still should Oscar Valdez, the WBC 130-pound champion. Of course, taking out Miguel Petrarch a few months ago, a 5-1 underdog. He is the upset winner of the year. Him and Nonito Nair, no doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look in the world of boxing and mixed martial arts. We come to you each and every Saturday and Sunday. Saturday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, and going on. Of course, the Sunday show, same channel, same time, 11 a.m. Pacific time, but 2 hours on Sunday. This is Ring Talk, live worldwide.
Understanding got us new stolen back. Must admit, I haven't always been good. What you stuck by me, like you said, Jared. Hell, I know enough is enough. But you shouldn't be talking about giving it up, yeah. Turning loose might be right, same.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
If it's necessary, I'll go 12 rounds, and I did.
Did you go to school, so to speak, on what happened to Rosario when he knocked him down and then got knocked out himself?
Yeah, yeah. Hector Camacho and Larry Merchant. Man, that was a good night, no doubt about that. It was macho time. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing, MMA. My name is Pedro Fernandez.
Welcome to the show. About to wrap up this two-hour edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You know, Angelo Dundee was quoted this week as saying that if Tommy Hearns had had the balance that Sugar Ray Leonard had, he would have been the greatest welterweight of all time. Well, that's not really true. I think that Tommy Hearns could have been the greatest welterweight of all time had he not weighed in at 145.3 pounds for that welterweight contest in September of 1981. That was almost 2 pounds under the welterweight limit. He was dying to make the weight. They made him lose an extra 2 pounds. That was a mistake by Emmanuel Stewart. And, of course, the strategy to go out there and box Ray Leonard instead of going out there and trying to destroy the smaller man, that was just, it just played right into Ray's hands. What happened in the sixth or seventh round after Tommy ran off four or five rounds? In the sixth round, Ray Leonard scored with a body shot, cracked a rib, and before you knew it, Tommy was the hurt man and not the hit man. But had he been the hit man at the start of that fight, I think it would have been a different story and that Tommy Hearns would be the greatest welterweight of all time. But without a doubt, Ray Charles Leonard is the greatest welterweight of all time. There's no doubt about it. And the only man to beat him in his prime? Roberto Duran. He turned 70 years old a couple of weeks ago, and I want to mention the fact that his mother passed this past week, and so sadness in the Roberto Duran family. We wish him the best. Condolences to him and his mama. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Hopefully next week, Larry Merchant will be over his cold. We'll be back. The retired HBO Godfather return next week. I want to thank you for tuning in. Of course, 37, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. What can I say? Not lying when you tell the truth. So until next week, keep your hands up, keep your chin down, most importantly, keep your butt off the cams of life. Be nice to people this week. Let's be nice to people. Don't forget, karma works. Karma's for real. Think about karma when I let you go. Until next time, Scott Cuddy is the producer, and this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, WBC Boxing TV.